Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Amen. I can lose my peace over false teachers. I can lose my peace over false doctrine. I can lose my peace over so many things. I can lose my peace over trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do doing for God instead of just flowing in the Spirit. Amen. I believe God's will is like a current. I don't believe it's something you have to bend to your will or your way. I think it's something you just have to get in and go with and flow with. Can you say amen? If you'll go with the flow and quit trying to be what God didn't call you to be or anoint you to be or appoint you to be, you might just find peace in your service to the Lord. You might find some joy for your journey. And someone might believe that the Prince of Peace really lives in your heart. Can you say amen? This world needs peace. Amen. They need peace. And they can't get it from anywhere but Jesus Christ. That's the one thing the devil can't duplicate is God's peace. They can't get it from a bottle. They can't get it from a syringe. They can't get it from a pill. Can you say amen? The only place, they can't get it from money. They can't get it from power. They can't get it from fame. They can't get it from promiscuous sex. They can't find it in this world. Amen. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up miring dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But Paul says, the God of peace be with you. Amen. God wants to set His church in contrast to into a troubled world and say, listen, amen, you can look anywhere, you can search anywhere, but you can't find what the weakest Christian has in his heart, and that's peace. Amen. If he obtains it. Hallelujah. I want to confront and cancel fear in your life, saith the Lord. I want fear to fall and faith to rise. I want you to lay down and sleep well. I want you to rise up in holy anticipation of good. Yea, saith God, for I knoweth my thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, good and not of trouble, to give you an expected end, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray today. Let's join hands and pray. We're going to receive the offering right after this prayer. Someone will be kind enough to pass the offering tray. We want to build. We're going to need furniture. We're going to need permits. We're going to need a whole lot of different things. To whatever we do, we're going to need finances to do that. So our building fund is intact, and we still want to contribute toward it and toward the building of our treasury. We've paid off the church early because we set a goal by faith, and God helped us all to reach that goal. And we're just excited. I believe, you know, I'm watching other people build, and this is not only possible for us, it's within our near grasp. I'm going to need some time to devote to getting this thing initiated and getting it going. So I'm praying that I'll be laid off as soon as possible, ASAP. And because it's hard to walk away. But, you know, I may just have to walk away because I believe the need is going to rise and the need for my attention is going to become stronger and stronger. There's so many people I want to visit, so many people that I believe need, not just to build numbers in the church, just to do the work of the kingdom. I don't have any, when I visit someone in a hospital or a nursing home or wherever their problem has taken them in jail, I don't say, you know, you got to come to this church. I say, you got to come to this Christ. Hallelujah. And we'll let God send to the church those that should come here and knit their hearts with us. And this is not a church for everyone, but there's no church in town for everyone. That's why there's so many of them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God has one specially designed for you. If you're a backslider, God doesn't have one for you, but the devil has you a church that won't trouble you and will tell you you're okay. Can you say amen? If you want to be cold in your spirit and just to absolutely go through the motions, and you want a cut and dried, high impact, entertaining service while you watch others worship and dance and have a good time, and you sit back in your spectator mode, can you say amen? You can find a church that'll be glad to have you to sit in the stand. friends. Can you say amen? The only thing missing is peanuts and popcorn, and it wouldn't surprise me if that didn't happen. Nothing surprises me anymore. Can you say amen? Why not make a little more money off of peanuts and popcorn and let people really enjoy the show? But there's no show here. We don't want people coming for a show. The only thing we have to offer is Jesus Christ. And if you love Him, we believe this can be a good church for people who want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and not go. I've led more than I can count on my fingers and toes. I've led over 20 people to Christ who were members and good standing in a church somewhere. And usually in a hospital, amen, when they were facing their mortality, is when they realized they didn't know the one that they heard preached every Sunday. Someone told them they had everything they needed, but when they were facing their own mortality and possible end of this life, amen, they didn't have His peace reigning in their heart and in their mind. Amen. It would be an awful thing to not be challenged on the issue of eternal life enough to really check ourselves out and just presume or assume that all is well when it isn't. Many people have been challenged by this ministry, and it's an uncomfortable feeling when you're challenged. But listen, if you really know Jesus, there's nothing I'm going to say here that's going to shake you. Can you say amen? It's only if you don't know Him or you're not sure that you know Him. And if you're not sure you're ready to die this morning, that is the supreme issue of your life. There is nothing more important. Amen. Can you say amen? Because every one of us in here are aging, and even if you're not, amen, you don't know what may be about to happen. I'm not trying to scare you today. I'm just trying to get you to get a hold of a piece that says no matter what happens, all is well with my soul. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Absent from the body is what to the believer? Present with the Lord. Amen. That's what we want. Amen. More than anything anyway. So it's a win-win for us. Can you say amen? If I perish, Paul's, he said, if I perish. I love that attitude in the Old Testament. Praise God. If I walk into the king's chamber to try to save the Jewish people that Haman wants to kill, you know, I may be killed for the intrusion, for not honoring the proper protocol. I could be literally killed for just bursting into the business of the king like this. Even though I'm this close to the king, I can't just burst in without following protocol. I may die in the doing of this today. If I perish, I perish. Can you say amen? Even if He doesn't deliver us from this fire, we will not bow to your false gods. If we perish, we perish. Can you say amen? Because perish to the Christian is not like perish to the non-Christian. Amen. Absent from is present with. Can you say amen? And present with is what all of us that love Him are longing for. Amen. What do you want? Do you want a dead, cut and dry church service, or would it be great if God showed up? Amen. And the presence of the Lord was sensed in your life and mine here today. Amen. Peace is not spiritual Novocaine that is just injected into you by the Holy Spirit and you're numbed to the world around you. No. Peace is the presence of God with you. Amen. Made real and manifest by the Holy Spirit Himself. Hallelujah. And without that presence, I've seen it on many churches that says no, N-O, no God, N-O, no peace. And then underneath it says K-N-O-W, God, K-N-O-W, peace. Really know God. Amen. You'll really know peace. But without it, there's nothing else that can make it work in your life. I want to see Christians exalt Jesus again. I want to see the joy of salvation back in the heart and life of people who are called to minister. I want to see the lions of God not just pour out, but drink in and flow out. Can you say amen? Because when that happens, other people notice. They don't take notice much of our zeal. They've seen it all before. They've seen zealous preachers on TV trying to hoodwink them and hornswoggle them and take their money. They're not impressed with our tongues. Without love, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Can you say amen? They're not impressed with your gifts. You think you're going to wow them with your gifts? They're not impressed. I'll tell you what will get them. Your peace will get them, because they can't find it nowhere in this world. Amen. And I'll tell you what will turn them off is our lack of it. preaching a Christ that promises it without it working actively, viably, visibly in our life. We've got to be ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in us. Amen? But if they see us as troubled as the world, as upset, as taken back, I don't care what creates the pressure. I'm telling you, God wants to replace that with peace. Amen. How many's ever lost it for a little bit and had to get it back? Wave at me if you've ever lost it. Listen, I'm not telling you that you're going to just have this. I'm telling you, there'll be times when you'll have to literally focus. I mean, you'll have to keep your focus on Jesus. If you don't, it will go. It can go so quickly. I'll be doing so good and so busy in life, and something come along and just tear me up. Anybody in here just get tore up over something? Amen. It'll just tear me up. And I got to sing a praise song then. I can't afford to entertain that for long. I got to get back with my eyes on the only one that can calm the troubled waters of my soul. Jesus can calm. That's an old song, but it's a great truth. Jesus can calm the troubled waters of your soul. He may not always and does not always speak to the circumstance initially and tell it to be still, because that peace is a peace that all the world knows about. And the peace that Christ promised is a peace not as the world giveth, that I promise to give you. He may not speak every time to the storm about you initially, but He will speak to the storm in you that storm without you has created every time you pray for it. And when He spoke to the storm without, what happened? When He spoke to that storm without, what happened? Immediately, there was a great calm. Can you say amen? Everybody say a great calm. You ought to check yourself sometime. See how it's doing. Better yet, take a thermometer and check your temperature when it's rising. Try to get it back down somewhere about 98.6. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy today. I'd like to see. You know, I don't know any other way to minister Jesus but to exalt Him and lift Him up. And I'm going to keep exalting Jesus. And I want people to see that I really know Him and that I'm walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that walking in the Spirit will take you into the flow of His will and purpose for your life. And if you'll be humble enough to accept that and bold enough to accept it. Amen. How many know you're not too big for the little thing? Wave at me if you figured that out yet. You're not too big for the little things. And how many know that you're not too little for the big things? Wave at me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's the balance we got to keep. What if God only wants you to do something smaller than what you have in mind? And you're butting your head against closed doors is giving you a headache. You think the sovereign God of the universe is going to hide His will and play hide and seek with you, who desperately wants you to know it so you can do it? You think He's going to put it in some dark place so you have to fast until they can stick you through a keyhole? Can you say amen in order to discover it? You think God is that... plays those kind of mind games with people to take your peace in serving Him? Can you say amen? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. See, the will of God is always strongly, clearly revealed. And when there's any question about it, sit down like Paul did and wait in the presence of God. How long, Brother Venable? As long as it takes. Jesus had to wait for 30 years. Thank you. Amen. From 12 until 33. Till 30, actually 12 until 30, 28 years. He went back, but his parents were subject to them because it wasn't time. Could you say amen? Did he wait all that time? From 12, he was teaching in the temple. They went and found him. He went home and said, I'm not going back to the temple anymore. I'm not going to work any miracles. I'm not going to do any preaching. I'm not going to do anything until God says it's time. And you know what he did in the interim? He sought God and he fasted and he just... life was like this. Oh, God, when are you going to use me? What is it going to happen? No. He was subject to his parents. Did he take out the garbage? Did you, when you were subject to your parents? Did he help his dad in the carpenter shop? Would you, if you were subject to your parents? Did he help his mom with something in the house? Did you, when you were subject to your parents? The Lord of glory sent with a mission to save the world. Is subject to his parents. Incredible peace. 30 years of age, the Spirit of the Lord, not something he manufactured, but the genuine, authentic Spirit of God, led him up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he came out of that time of testing and temptation, he walked boldly. Amen. The Bible said, in the power of the Spirit. Come on, religious flesh won't stand up under the pressures of it all. Not even the pressure of the responsibilities of ministry. I've seen ministers break, and I almost broke. I came so close, but God was so very good. Can you say amen? I know preachers today that don't have peace. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this thing will bring healing to your body. You don't just need hands laid on you. You need a heart that is at rest. You need a mind that is at peace. Stress is a killer to your body. It's a breaker down of your own immune system that God has put in. Listen, God built you with built-in healing called an immune system. I mean, this world is full of pollutants and germs. Did you know what they say? They say that if you bathe too much, you open yourself for all kinds of bacterial skin problems. You know why? Because there's good stuff. If you wait about a day, and if you bathe 3 times a day, amen, you're actually not built up. Don't go to Mexico and try to be a missionary if you're going to do that. Or Haiti. I'm not telling you not to bathe until you stink or something. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying doctors. Sitting in the dentist office, wait on my wife. Doctors say, if you bathe too much, you take away the good stuff, because there's good stuff supposed to grow on you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you take too many antibiotics, you never tolerate a fever, which is your white blood cells fighting off something. Can you say amen? Because God put healing in you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Take too many, after a while, they don't work anymore. Amen. So every time you get a sniffle, we ain't got time for no sniffle. So, you know, we just run, get another round of antibiotics. We think everything is up to antibiotics to take care of instead of a strong immune system. Amen. Well, you know, I just want to tell people today, amen, that if stress breaks down the immune system, think what peace is going to do for your physical and mental health. Can you say amen? It's going to build it up. Praise God. Amen. The joy of the Lord, according to my Bible, is your strength, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Hallelujah. The spirit of the joy of the Lord is your strength. They tell me that laughter, amen, has a healing influence in your life. Amen. Was it Norman Cousins who was with a terrible, massive heart attack in the hospital, waiting to die? The doctor said he wouldn't survive it. If he did, he'd be a vegetable. Amen. He began to watch Marx Brothers. That's what he had to look at, was the old Marx Brothers pictures. He thought they were funny. My wife doesn't find them funny at all. Amen. I like the Three Stooges. She can't hardly stand it sometimes. But anyway, amen. Oh, Brother Venable, you're so spiritual. I never thought that you would watch the Three Stooges. Well, I watched the rest of them. No, I'm sorry. Moving right along. On Sunday, anyway, moving right along. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, you think that you're going to get through life without the joy of Jesus, that you're going to solve the problems of the world. This is the last day. Amen. It's going to happen like God said it's going to happen. Many are going to go after false teachers, but everybody isn't. Can you say amen? A lot of people are going to be blinded, but God's people are not. Can you say amen? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Is not talking about just the Holy Ghost being there in power. Amen. It's talking about the Spirit of truth keeping you from error. It's in the context of the spirit of the Antichrist as opposed to the true spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, but we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. Amen. For greater is He, in spite of the spirit of Antichrist that doth already work, but greater is He, the Spirit of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of truth that is in you, than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The greater one lives in you to guide you into truth. When he comes, he will lead you where? Into all truth. And what happens when you put that truth into practice by continuing in the Word of God? You will know the truth experientially, and not just spiritually revealed, but in personal experience by applying it. And what happens then? And the truth will set you free. And one of the things the truth will set you free from is the debilitating power of worry and stress and anxiety. Spiritually debilitating, mentally debilitating, physically debilitating. Satan says, let me get their peace. Someone said Satan had a yard sale. Heard this before. He's selling off a lot of his well-used and well-worn implements to harm people with. And the demons are lining up to get them because this is Satan's own personal tools to defeat and destroy with. And one demon comes up and he spies something on the top shelf. And he says, I want that one. And Satan says, no, you can't have that one. That's my personal favorite. It's my most effective. And it's not for sale. For that tool and that weapon is discouragement. Let me get it into any man's heart, no matter how anointed. Any woman's heart, no matter how called of God. And I will easily defeat them. He got it into Timothy's life. And Timothy pulled back. And Paul said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear because he was discouraged. He was addressing discouragement, deep, devastating discouragement. The loss of peace means equals the loss of power. Everybody say the loss of peace is equivalent to the loss of power. Because if you lose your peace, you won't use your faith. Come on, if you lose your peace, you won't use your faith. And if you don't use your faith, there will be no release of God's power to protect or to overcome or attack an enemy. Amen. You will forsake the prayer mode when you lose your peace. Amen. All of that anxiety will keep you from really going before God and trusting Him. Praise God. That's why this message is crucial to people living in the last days, because the pressure would be on then, according to the scripture, like no other generation that's ever been on this planet. There will be no day like the last day in terms of pressure. Even the early church didn't know the pressure that we are under. They knew the pressure of persecution, but we are under more of a mental, amen, attack than they were. More of a spiritual attack. They weathered the storm of persecution with flying colors, didn't they? They didn't fold and they didn't go under because of intense persecution. But I know people today that are folding and going under without intense persecution.
Yes, amen.
Without the threat of being put on a cross or beaten. Because Satan has this tool operating in their life effectively. Full of fear, anxiety. My uncle preached the gospel for 25 years. Youngest man to hold the position he held with the Church of God as a general, as an overseer over district overseer. He knew Dave Wilkerson personally and visited him. He had a radio broadcast. He finally pastored a large church in Kannapolis, North Carolina. He injured his back. He got on strong pain medication. He went through problems in his family, in his personal life. He got on nerve medication. He found that the pain medication would numb his body and the nerve medication would numb his mind. He lost the peace of God. He lost his family. He lost his ministry. He almost lost his life. I visited him in Tampa General Hospital, strapped to a bed, taking Valium, crunched up in purified water through a syringe, and the veins in his arms were collapsed. And he had track marks as deep as any junkie on the street after preaching the gospel for 25 years. So I know something about the importance of God's peace in your life. Power and anointing is of no value when you lose peace. Do you hear me? And Pentecostals have a history of pursuing power and anointings and never achieving peace, many of them.
Amen.
That's why the word doesn't work well in many Christian lives. Other things entering in choke the word. The cares of this life choke the word. Amen. And you can make all of your personal leadings and all of that, you can make it into a puzzle that will literally take your peace. Instead of letting God be God and blooming where you're planted, could it be that you're where God wants you to be for this time in your life? Could it be you should be happy with His will and purpose for this time in your life? Could it be that God is way ahead of you? Can you say amen? And He doesn't need your ingenuity and your anxiety to bring to pass His will in your life. I am exactly where God wants me to be this Sunday morning. Oh, Brother Venable, are you still waiting on your ministry to preach to the multitudes? No, I've been preaching to multitudes for years. Can you say amen? God takes His word out of here, sends it to places. Amen. This is an incredible little ministry. In the fact that I preached on an airbase in Germany through videotapes. And I didn't engineer it. We didn't engineer it. But a lady just bought all the tapes, took them with her when her husband was transferred. What a coincidence, huh? Amen. That God took our tapes to an Air Force base in Germany. And Christians came to her house because there was no Protestant church in the area. They came to her house, put on a videotape of our Sunday morning service. Amen. They had it run it on to 6-hour speed. You understand, it was a little grainy, but it worked very well. I'm just kidding. Can you say, no, I'm not. Anyway, hallelujah. They put on the videotape and they had church. I never thought that I would preach in a jail in Louisville, Kentucky, but I got a phone call saying, I want you to know that you're preaching to prisoners in Louisville, Kentucky, because a man with a prison ministry took our tapes in, would play a tape, and then would make the altar call. They didn't have the call to minister, but they wanted to help these men, so they took a tape in. Amen. And the tape did the preaching, and then they threw out the net when the preaching was over. I said, I had no idea, amen, without God translating me, that I could stand here in Tampa and preach in the prison system in Louisville, Kentucky. Someday, I'm going to meet some hillbilly up in heaven. Hallelujah, that God saved in Louisville. And He's going to come running up to me because I'm a hillbilly from Kentucky. I was born in southern Kentucky. Amen. And He's going to hug my neck and say, you don't know me, but I know you because I heard you preach the gospel in Louisville. Amen. I didn't do it. God did it. We went off the air in Gastonia, North Carolina. See, the will of God is so powerful. I said the will of God and the purpose of God for you is such a powerful thing. Amen. It works while you're sleeping. It works while you're sleeping. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said it works. It's at work while you're sleeping. I'm laying my head down. I'm sleeping. I get a call. We were on 6 or 8 weeks in Gastonia, North Carolina, and I get a call from the radio station, and they say, Pastor, we have the slot empty. We haven't filled it with airtime yet. We have all of your master tapes. We would like to replay them from the beginning, amen, because we believe that you have a quality ministry, and the tapes are of high quality. Would you permit us to play all your tapes again for free? And I said, I'll pray about it fast and seek God and seek godly counsel. No, go ahead and put the gospel on. Go into all the world and preach. Can't go wrong. Hallelujah. And it was during that time, not when we paid for it and didn't see much result, but during that time when they put it on for free, that I got the letter from a young lesbian lady in Charlotte, North Carolina, that said, I wanted to be a Christian, but I knew I couldn't change myself. But I heard on a radio broadcast in coming out of Gastonia over here into Charlotte. Amen. It didn't even normally reach Charlotte. But that day, God took the radio waves and He just shot them over to Charlotte, North Carolina. Can you say amen? She said, I'm driving in my car and I hear a tape on Slaying Your Giants. And she said, this is the giant in my life. And you said something about David running toward that giant. And the Spirit of God came on him. And she said, and the Spirit of God came on me in my car. And this giant fell. And I received Christ as my personal Savior. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. So, God is still God. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what in the world. Amen. I could tell you story after story, but this has come over 30 years of ministry. God has just taken His word and sent it where He wanted it to go. Whether it's a truck stop in Texas or whether it's a Goodwill in Pensacola.
Amen.
Ladies, driving from Pensacola to Jacksonville. Stop at a Goodwill. Amen. They're selling tape for a dime each in the Goodwill. So she gets $3 worth. 30 tapes. Amen. Takes those tapes, starts listening to them, and they're tapes of this ministry. And I get a call on the phone and said, we just rejoiced all the way from the Goodwill in Pensacola to Jacksonville, Florida. We drove all the way down Interstate 10 rejoicing in the Lord, wanting to encourage you in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that excites my soul. Amen. God, isn't God great? How did tapes get in Louisville? How did tapes get to Germany? And listen, our tapes went to South Africa. Amen. Don Norman sent our tapes to South Africa. And they went again. Desert Storm area. They went, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot. They went in during Desert Storm. Our tapes were being played among the military. Now listen, folks, we don't have a TV ministry. We don't have a radio ministry. We don't have a mega church. But the Word of God is anointed. It is mighty. He sent His Word to heal and to deliver. Can you say amen? From all of the destroyer's work, He sent His Word. 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 When He sent me, He sent His Word. Because that's all I know how to do. Amen. I can't build a church with modern techniques. There's only one calling, one anointing that God has placed upon my life. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. One day, people are going to want to hear, is there a Word from the Lord? Not just someone with a new technique to build churches, but is God saying something? Hallelujah. Because we need to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That's when ministries that are centered in the Word of God will come forth. But it has to get tough before people really want to hear the truth from God. They pull Jeremiah out of the dungeon and they say, is there any word from the Lord? Without my truth, you are no match for the enemy. The first piece of the armor is not sword, not shield, not shoes, not helmet, not breastplate. It's the belt of truth. Let your loins be girt about with truth. Gird up the loins of your mind with truth. Face the enemy, who is the father of all lies, and put him to flight. With my truth, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray and receive our offering. We want you to know that you're part of something that God has been using for a long time. He's been using it in a context that many people would discredit it and discount it, but that hasn't stopped God. And since it hasn't stopped God, it's not going to stop me, and it shouldn't stop you today. Can you say amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful blessings, Your hand of good. And Father, we thank You for the coming year that we're about to move into. We believe this is going to be a year that is marked by the favor of the Lord. Father, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And he grew in favor as He grew, Lord, in those areas. He grew in favor with God and man. And Father, we know that man turned on Him and crucified Him. But Lord, You gave Him favor. You gave Him favor with those who would receive Him, those who would hear. You gave Him favor. And Father, we thank You today for Your blessing, Lord, Your favor upon this ministry that has rested upon it down through the years and through all of the tears and in spite of our fears. Lord, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you, I'm grateful this morning for Your good favor upon us, for this good work that we put our hand to. And we expect to see You continue to move and in a mighty way, Father. Thank You, Lord, for those that You've given us favor with, Lord, who've blessed us extraordinarily within and without. There are people You moved upon. And Father, we just thank You, and especially for those that gave sacrificially. Lord, we thank You especially for those gifts, large or small, Lord, because they they represent real commitment. Let them be blessed above all in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Thank you, Brother William, for receiving the offering. As we go to God's Word, I think we've prefaced this by saying that you can't do without God's peace, particularly in this world. You can't do without it in any time in history, but particularly in our day, it is vitally important. This is one of the most important messages I've ever preached. I see people touched constantly by the Lord down through the years, through His Word. And I see the enemy gain victories over them, quick and easy victories, because other things entering in choke the Word. They don't know how to guard their mind with God's peace, to garrison their mind with God's peace. So the Word doesn't bring forth fruit. They sit under preaching that sets other people free, but they themselves stay bound. Preaching that gets other people healed, they themselves stay sick. Preaching, in some occasions, that gets other people delivered from the enemy, and they themselves clearly are still taken captive by him at will. You're not free if he can take you captive at will. If he can roar over and come in and override all that the Spirit has accomplished in you, it's because somewhere along the line, amen, the enemy has caused you to entertain thoughts and allow other things in that has choked the Word of God. The shield of faith comes down when the Word is choked. How many know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? And when the Word is choked, something he couldn't in any way, amen, get through, the mighty shield of faith quenches how many of the fiery darts or the flaming arrows or flaming missiles of the devil? All. Everybody say all. The shield of faith quenches how many? How many touch you? How many hit you? How many harm you? None. Everybody say none. None. The shield of faith is designed, amen, to keep you from the intent to harm of the enemy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper as long as that shield is in place. Amen? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. When does that shield come down? When the Word of God is choked. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you say amen? So if Satan can get distraction, fear, anxiety into your heart and your life. How many know that the foundation of all worry and anxiety is fear? You're not just dealing with worry, you're dealing with fear. Can you say amen? Conquer fear. You can't worry. Worry is one of the little cohorts of fear. Amen. Fear is the real giant that needs to fall. Amen. You may not be homosexual here today. That might not be your issue. Amen. You may have no problem at all with that, but you've got a desperate problem with fear. And I'm telling you, you've got a giant in your life that needs to come down just as much as that young lady had a giant in her life that needs to fall. How many know the giant of fear needs to fall in your life? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's coming from a man who has slain that giant. Amen. And now he's strong in his faith because that giant has fallen. Praise God. Amen. Peace is essential. Fear actually thrives. Faith thrives in an atmosphere of peace. Fear flourishes in an atmosphere of unrest and doubt, a soul that is disturbed. The word that's used in Scripture for fear comes from an ancient word, and it means to strangulate, literally to strangle, to get a stranglehold and to strangle the life out of someone or something. That's where that root word of fear and anxiety comes from. Literally, fear strangles faith in your life if we entertain it, if we open up to it. You can't have all week long of CNN and all week long of Dr. Phil and Oprah's worldly philosophies. Good, some of it's good. Some of it's good pop psychology. Amen. But the church doesn't need to be involved with pop psychology. What we need, amen, is the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because that faith conquered fear and produced peace in the time of great persecution and great trouble. We're trying to blend a little Dr. Phil and a little Jesus. And amen, I'm going to tell you, Dr. Phil and Jesus, I have nothing against Dr. Phil. I think he's a great guy. He told one lazy guy to go to work. God's Word says that. He lined up that day, and I applaud him for that. Can you say amen? 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 How many believe lazy people ought to go to work? Scripture said if they don't work, they ought not eat. Amen? Guy came to church one time. I remember when he came to our church, and he asked me for money for a sandwich. And there was a Dairy Queen that made Cuban sandwiches, and that's about the biggest sandwich you could get for a little bit of money. Amen. And so he came, and he said, "I need money for a sandwich." And he had this bright, shiny fire extinguisher he was going to sell me. And I thought, where in the world did that guy get this bright, shiny fire extinguisher? And I could just see some business somewhere missing a bright, shiny fire extinguisher. We lived in Suffering Springs, and so it was a tough neighborhood. We were in the hood for all of those years. Amen. We were in a place the police didn't like to go. Ex-policeman became an air conditioning man when he retired, came to work on our air conditioner. I was going to meet him at the church. He sat there for 10 minutes, and he drove away. Left a message on my message machine saying some characters walked by my van. And he's ex-Tampa policeman. He said, and they looked at me sitting there, and then they walked right back by my van. He said, I got nervous. And he said, I carry a gun in my glove compartment. He said, I'm an ex-policeman. I know what can happen. He said, but I felt uncomfortable. And I thought, dear Lord, we went to church there for over 20 years. And we had peace. I come out of that church at 11. It may be foolishness, but I had such peace. Amen. We all had peace. I saw knife fights, and then one night I saw a guy with a knife fighting a guy with a bicycle. He was using his bicycle to try to hit the guy with the knife. In the middle of the road, in the middle of Sitka. Two cars coming the other way and two behind me. We had to sit there until they took the fight to the corner of the road before we could get by. That's on the way to church. Amen. Prostitute on one corner, drug dealer on the other. And we're going through all that maze to get into the parking lot. Children told to stay in their classes one Sunday downstairs and outside because a man was behind our dumpster directly in back of our church where the pastor parked. I didn't have to put up a sign, pastor parking. I chose to park next to the dumpster. Everybody in the neighborhood that fished in that river took all the fish heads and guts and put it in our dumpster. And in the summertime, it was rank. And I never had to worry about somebody pulling in my space. What honor it was. Tree limb fell one night out of the old tree by the dumpster. Fell on the pastor's car. Mashed it like a pancake. I had insurance on it. You say, well, Brother Venable, what did you do wrong? Honey, I didn't believe none of that happened because of something I did wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought, I'm glad it was on my car. Nobody's going to sue the church. I saw the good in it. Great good has he done. And I've got collision. Glory be to God for collision. A limb fell on my car. They had to take the roof off. They had to put a whole new roof on. They had to cut the roof off and put a whole new roof on and weld it on. Then they had to paint my whole car so it would match. Woo! Glory. If you don't lose your peace, God can bless you anywho. Can you say amen? If you just don't lose your peace. I could have went out and said, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the trials you send? I sing it a little different than most people. I've been through it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But if you keep your peace, God will bless you in spite of it all. If you don't lose your peace, God will bring you through with a testimony. If you don't lose your peace, God will. When I sold that car with over 100,000 miles, it was still shining. I mean, they put a good paint job on that old car. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. If you just hold on to your trust and let Him be God and go with the flow, amen, and let patience have her perfect work. The only way to go through a trial and let God accomplish what He wills, amen, and bring you out in His time is to be at peace in the midst of it. Yeah. Count it all joy. Everybody say joy, joy, joy. You know when we're to be the most joyous? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many kinds of problems and tests and persecutions. Count it all joy. Amen. Knowing this, James chapter 1, knowing this, verse 1, now verse 2, knowing this, everybody say knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work a virtue in you. Can you say amen? One that you really need. I pray it all the time. Lord, give me patience and hurry. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience is so vital to victory. Amen. You maintain and sustain patience in an atmosphere of inner peace, knowing that God is on the throne. God is in control. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't even know why it's happening. But you know the God that is working through it all. Can you say amen? And you trust Him through it all. And through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God. That's the lesson of letting go and letting God. Listen to this. My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Everybody say patience. Patience. We're talking about the God of peace. Our scripture for the day would, where five or six times God uses, but Paul uses the term in addressing the church because of all the persecution and trouble they were experiencing. He would always remind them, amen, of something vital to their victory, vital to the use of their faith, vital to their constant proclaiming of the gospel with joy. The God of peace is with you. Amen. They were given a charge to go and preach the gospel into all the world and said they went and preached the gospel. Amen. And the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. What kept them was not just the signs, but the God who was working with them. The God who was with them. He wasn't just a God of power. He was a God of peace. Everybody say peace. That's why Paul reminded them in their quest for this powerful God that you need to understand that one of your greatest needs as a foundation for all of that flow of power is sustained peace in the time of all the persecution and trouble that's going to come. So the God of peace be with you. The God of peace be with you. The God of peace be with you. Six times in the New Testament, he says, the God of peace be with you. The God of peace. He calls him the God of peace. 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 The God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan under beneath your feet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can have the full assurance that Satan does not have the upper hand and he's already destined for destruction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, remind him of where he's going. Can you say amen? He's defeated at Calvary. It's sealed. His doom is sealed and he knows he has but a short time. Why? Because the God of peace that gives you this assurance will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That's Romans 16, 19 and 20. Romans 16, 19 says, the God of peace. He says it in Philippians 4, 9. And the God of peace be with you. Can you say amen? The God of peace be with you. Be with you. Be with you. It's a peace that keeps the heart and mind according to Scripture. It's a peace that passes understanding that keeps the heart and the mind. It's a peace that is so vital and so important. If you lose it, the word itself becomes in jeopardy in your life, and therefore your spiritual armor begins to fall apart. Amen? Lose your peace, you won't use your faith. You lose your peace, you will not stand and wield the mighty sword of the Spirit. Guarantee you, a man without peace, a woman without peace, will be a man or a woman without power. So we've went for power without peace, and we've got people who are disturbed all the time, filled with anxiety. Some shouting is the genuine Spirit of God, is the expression of the joy of the Lord. Some shouting is like a pressure cooker releasing pressure that is built up because of lack of peace. How many know what's on sitting on top of a pressure cooker? Amen. There's a release valve. Thank God it's there. Amen. You know what it's for? To keep the thing from exploding. You have no idea how near explosion some people are. Road rage is a result of people that are just something tips them over and they have a weapon handy. They chase people down to kill them that they don't even know because they were cut off in traffic. I don't want this build up that is released in a shout and to walk out with anxiety. I experienced this in my early ministry. We had a laying hands on a lot of people. A lady come down from the back, and she was so troubled. She had sat through the service, didn't hear a word. She was so troubled. She wanted a spiritual Novocaine. You know, that's what we really want from God. Lay hands on me and go, and then I don't feel a thing. I don't feel a thing. Amen. No, God's peace doesn't come by the laying on of hands. It is a fruit of the Spirit, not a gift of the Spirit. Can you say amen? It is a product of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, particularly when He manifests the presence of Jesus to you. That's why dead churches, there's people can't achieve peace in dead churches. Amen. They take their worries in, they pack their worries out. Amen. Because only the Holy Spirit can make Jesus real to you. Amen. When He comes, He'll what? Testify of me. Amen. Well, you already know Him. So what's He going to do? Amen. In the life of a believer, that is. Amen. He's going to manifest that presence to you. You'll be able to sense His presence in your life. Amen. And there's peace that comes. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Jesus had peace, God, the God of peace with Him until He was on the cross becoming sin for us. The God of peace was with Him. He stood before Pilate, forsaken of everyone. He said, but my Father is with me. And He stood in perfect peace, didn't He? Amen. As a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth because he stood in perfect peace. Amen. It wasn't power that took him through that. It was peace that did. Could you say amen? He divested himself of his power or they could have never put him on the cross. But he held peace until he hung on it. And when he took our sin, he lost his peace. Just like any other sinner who doesn't have it. For the first time in Christ's life, he didn't know peace on that cross. How do you know? Because he cried out in anguish and said what we should never have to say. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? So that he could say to us, I will never let you have that feeling, no matter what you face in life. You will never be without God or without hope in this present world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the source of Christian peace. It's not the absence of pressure or problems. It's the presence of God no matter what we face. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 But on the cross, Father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He knew why, but he cried anyway. What can you do but cry out? He knew what it felt like to be abandoned of God, to be forsaken of God. When we saw him in that condition, taking our sin, forsaken of God, when we saw him in that condition, when we saw him, Isaiah said, looking down through time, through the telescope of prophecy, when we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him, but we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, when in fact what he was doing on that cross, amen, was so that we could never know what he was experiencing. Can you say amen? We would never be lost. We would never be abandoned. The God of peace would always be with us. The early church valued that more than anything. We're on power trips. We're on every kind of trip. We need, amen, to get into God's peace because we're in the last days when that is going to become so absolutely crucial to your heart and your life and your mind. I went through a car wash in Sulphur Springs. There was one not too far, and my old car would get dirty. I'd run it through the wash on the way to the hospital. I was on my way to the hospital listening to Christian music. Amen. I took my car. My car was coming through, and a lady in a nice Cadillac came through. Her car come out shining. I don't even know why. You know, she just wanted to get the dust off of it. Run it through this automated car wash where then there's people drying it off outside. Well, evidently the guy that got in it to dry it off, she was a petite lady. You know, the guy that got in it, he changed her steering wheel. There's a little thing you can hit here and the steering wheel tilts up. So, you know, he could get in under it without changing. And it telescopes in that out and in the Cadillac. He pushed it in, tilted it up, and it locked up. He figured she knew, you know, it's her car, how to put it right. It would go right back to where she had it, just a touch of the finger, and boom, right back where she had it. Amen. But he come out, and he cleaned it all out, got inside of it, tilted the wheel up, and I'm watching my car's coming behind, and she's waiting. And she's dressed to the nines. She's on her way somewhere. She wants to arrive in her beautiful new Cadillac and wants it to be shiny. Amen. And she looks like a lady. She's in a business suit. I thought this is probably I'm just speculating. I thought, well, she's probably a businesswoman. She probably works in a bank. She's probably a bank manager, or else she's a real estate lady. Amen. Could be Mary Kay, but it wasn't pink. Can you say amen? But anyway, she was coming out, and she's a together lady. You can tell this lady is together. Her shoes, amen, they probably didn't come from Kmart. Amen? Can you say amen? And she has a leather purse, amen, and it's got a brand name on it, and she's got a business suit on. And she's a together lady until she sits down in her Cadillac. And all that pressure she's carrying and keeping just with a thin veneer of peaceableness on the outside and professionalism, it all went out the window. She grabbed her wheel and it was up like this. Her eyes glared. She sat there for a moment. She looked at her wheel. I guess she thought he broke it. Honestly, the woman turned around in her seat. I'm going to demonstrate this. You can't see this on tape, so you'll have to come to church to appreciate these messages. Amen. She turned around in her car seat. I'm going to sit this way. She turned around like that. She went like this. And she said, "My steering wheel won't work. My steering wheel won't work. My steering wheel won't work. My steering wheel won't work." And it's like everybody in the whole place just froze. And the guy with the rag in his head, he's just frozen out. Toy out. It wouldn't be nothing to us, but this is a 40-ish lady dressed to the nines in a new Cadillac. And the guy says, ma'am, calm down. I won't calm down. I won't calm down. And I thought, dear Lord, has anybody got a taser? bring her something, a tranquilizing dart. You know, animal tranquilizer, anything. You know, I pray the SWAT team with tranquilizer darts, you know, like you take down some wild animal. But, you know, we're laughing. But you know what had happened? All of this veneer.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on in her life, but something. And what broke it wasn't supposed to break all that and break that dam and let all those emotions out, but it did. That steering wheel sticking up like that blew her cool. And it was gone. Amen. Any little bumper sticker on the back that says no peace, no God. No peace, no God. Or try Jesus or Christ is the answer. I'll tell you, if that bumper sticker was on that car, nobody would read it. Because they're too busy reading her. Amen. Little cross on the back don't mean nothing when that's going on in the front seat. Hello? Fish on the back don't mean nothing when that's going on in the front seat. Big old Bible sitting up on the dash don't mean anything when that's going on in the front seat. Because it's saying, well, I'm no different than anybody else in this world. I can't cope any better with Christ than you can with beer. So, every time I get to that point of wanting to do that, I think about her and how it looked to me. And I say, help me, Jesus. Don't let it happen, Lord. I feel it building. Have you ever had it come when you didn't expect it and it surprised you that it bothered you that much because it isn't supposed to and you thought you had it all together and you didn't realize it was building? You didn't feel it while it was building. You thought you had it all managed. Amen. Until it began to surface. And when it surfaces, it starts to come out and you say, where did that come from? Well, it came from something that's been building. Amen. We need to practice this thing. We need to keep our focus. We need to get up in the morning and arm ourselves with the same mind that Christ had. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who humbled himself. Praise God. Next time your pride is offended, understand that if we were humbled, that wouldn't have happened. So the guy kept reassuring her. She jumped out of the car. He reached in. He tilted it down. She got in. She's quiet now. She's embarrassed. She understands she didn't break it. Amen. This is a Cadillac. It does this. Amen. And she hit right out into the traffic. She squealed those tires and she left. And I'm sure somewhere at some business luncheon or somewhere where a contract is going to be signed for closing, a woman got out of a car, picked up her briefcase, and walked confidently into the room, giving off that air of, I've really got it together. Honey, this world don't have it together. Don't let nobody fool you. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up. See, the sea on top is so troubled that it's affecting everything on the bottom. Amen. It's casting up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But great peace have they which love thy law. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, there's something about the Word of God that when we bow to Him, amen, and we feel that, and when we're reconciled through Christ, that peace initially floods our soul. God just wants it to be sustained in our heart, sustained in our life. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He says in Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. In 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. In 2 Corinthians 3:11, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And in Hebrews 13:20-21, now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Amen. The God of peace does this. Not the God that hides it from you, troubles you, fills you with anxiety, but the God of peace does this mighty work in you. The God of peace. Amen. When you pray, what is the first confirmation that your prayer has been prayed in faith? Peace. Peace floods the soul. If you get up from praying and peace doesn't flood your soul, you haven't given it to God. If you get up with peace in your heart, and even though the trouble, the storm is raging about you, but the peace is there. Hallelujah. George Mueller was a man of such prayer. He never raised funds once. And back in the turn of the century, raised millions for orphanages around the world. George Mueller. Oh, his faith was awesome. He was on his way to an appointment one time by sea, and the ship became so enshrouded in fog, amen, that it had to stop dead in the water. It was the days before radar and sonar and satellite guidance systems, and they had to rely on sight to navigate, and it just stopped dead in the water. George Mueller went up to the captain's office, according to this account, and said, I have never been late for an appointment in God's work yet, and we shall not be today. And he withdrew himself to his cabin, got down on his knees and prayed, came back up to the cabin where the captain was, and by the time he got back, amen, the fog began to break up, amen, and the sea became clear in front of them, and the ship set sail and took him to his appointment on time. One time there was no food in the ovens, amen, and he walked in and they said, George, we haven't had, the contributions have been down. We have made our last bread for breakfast this morning. There's nothing for the evening meal. And he said, start the ovens. See, you've got to have perfect peace to have that kind of faith. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Start the ovens. Crank them up. There's no bread. You know, you've got to get to the point that listen, you don't just say that to make it happen. You've got to feel it in your heart. It's got to be an inward witness that this is what God wants. But then go full steam ahead. Start the ovens up. They cranked up the ovens. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as he went into his room, he was praying. While he was praying, a man knocked on the door. He said, I was late with this, but I thought you might need it. And you might need it. He brought them all kind of stuff, including what they needed to cook the bread with, laid it at the front door. Amen. Hallelujah. But George Mueller one time was praying, amen, for a train ticket. It wasn't George Mueller. It was another guy just like him in faith. Reese. We know these guys, these people of prayer. Reese. I think it is. Reese Howells. He needed a train ticket to get from one place to another in part of his ministry. Amen. He told a friend of his to pray with him. Amen. So he went in his room. His friend went in his room. They began to pray for the same thing. Amen. The guy that was praying went and knocked on the door of the guy that was praying with him. Amen. And knocked on the door, says, you can quit praying now. He said, why? Have you got the money? He said, no, but I've got the peace. And he knew peace was his answer. So what did he do with that peace? He used his faith. He went down to the train station. Stood in line. seven or eight people in line. They inch forward, not a penny in his pocket. Boy, you got to have some peace to do this. He walks another step and another step. See, God's peace has to come. And another step. And look how faith works in that atmosphere of peace. Can you say amen? Our troubled, anxious minds, it's hard to hold faith. Can you say amen? He walked again and walked again. Walked. He got up till there was two people in front of him. He's standing there. He takes another step. There's one man in front of him. Guy purchases his ticket. Turns around and says, you know, I don't know for the life of me why I'm buying this. I don't want to go there today. You want this ticket? Thank you, Jesus. It's exactly what happened. He got on the train. Boy, peace is powerful. Say, look at somebody and say, peace is powerful. If you don't think it's powerful, check it out. Look how hard Satan works to try to interrupt it constantly in your life. He can't penetrate the shield of faith. He don't even go there. He knows as long as that shield is up, nothing, no weapon's going to prosper. He's got to get that shield down. Amen. Captain Kirk had a shield. Amen, didn't he? Put up the shield. They can shoot all they want to. It's just going to bounce off that shield. The Klingons are smarter than that. Amen. They get the shield down. Get the shield down, they're going to take a hit. Your shield comes down. You're going to take every hit he's got. And I'm not up to it. How about you? Are you up to it? Can you stand that kind of attack from your enemy? I can't stand that. That shield has to stand up because it quenches how many? How many? Does that sound like invincibility in battle to you? Everybody say invincibility. We all need this. Because, you know, if you don't have peace, you know what you're going to do? You're going to try to interrupt mine. You look there and nod, no way. You will. If you don't have peace, you're going to find fault. You're going to find trouble. You're going to make trouble for somebody somewhere. Can you say amen? You lose your peace, your husband's going to know it, darling. You lose your peace, your wife is going to figure it out pretty quick. Can you say amen? Your children better watch out. Hey, amen. I read this cute little story. Children are so honest. and they're writing about their life at home in their own words. You know, these little 5 and 6 year olds. And this advice, this wise 5-year-old girl is given, says, don't ever let mama comb your hair when she's mad at daddy. Or brush your hair, can you say? That's pretty wise advice, isn't it? Amen. You know, God's people in faith defeated the Hittites. Amen. They defeated all those different tithes. But there's one they didn't defeat, and that's the up tithes. Can you say amen? Never did. Never did. Saul lost his peace, and he didn't use his faith. The giant challenged them, and they had no champion to go out and meet him. Can you say amen? Not one warrior so well armed and highly anointed. Amen, because some of these same men in Saul's army went to David in a cave and became mighty men of valor. Can you say amen? The same men, amen, that were with that troubled man, this tormented man, this man, this man was so tormented. He said, bring me a musician. Bring me someone that can play skillfully on an instrument. Amen, because they didn't have pills or injections back then. He sought his peace through something that would take his mind into a place for a little while. Amen. Listen, something to soothe his soul. Amen. A pop song says, give me the beat, boys, and soothe my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Trying to get out of reality. It's just trying to get away from the reality. Listen, you don't need to get out of reality if God's peace is in your heart. You can face reality with the reality and realization that that the God of peace is with you, and you don't have to find some outlet, some way to get out. Many people leave church and try to get lost in the things of the world because they don't have his peace. They're open for every temptation, everything the devil offers, every placebo he offers them, they grab at it, and they never achieve it. Saul was so troubled. He was beginning his drift from God. He was beginning a mighty anointed man. Anointing will not take the place of peace. Power doesn't replace peace. No one would go out but a little boy that knew the presence of God, who had an anointing and peace to go with it. And listen to how unruffable this peace was. David walks down. He don't have war on his mind, battle on his mind. He hadn't been praying all night to prepare himself to face no giant. He's just humbled himself in the will of God. He's anointed to be king, but he's not trying to be. You didn't hear me. Great key to your peace in this. He's anointed to be something, but he ain't trying to become it. Because the anointing will take you, and the anointing will make you. Can you say, man, if the anointing don't take you and make you, then you're going to do it in the power of weak flesh. And weak flesh is not what we need, amen, leading any kind of ministry for Jesus Christ. We need that is produced solely by the anointing. And don't be surprised when you see the flaws in those people God selects as leaders. Amen. It is not their perfections that caused him to look upon them, but something he saw in their heart. Can you say amen? And when we see that the treasure's in an earthen vessel, it should give us all courage to know, amen, listen, if God can use him and her, God can use me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 God is not looking for supermen and women. He's looking for people that will bow to him, amen, and humble themselves and let God be God in their life. David has bread and cheese. His only reason for going down there is because he's heard that Israel is at a stalemate and his brothers are in the army and he is now bringing them refreshment. So with bread and cheese, he's approaching. Amen. His elder brother comes out to meet him. And he says, David, I know the naughtiness of your heart. What are you doing here? And he said, he's surveying the situation now. He said, is there not a cause? In other words, big bro, have you walked out there to defy him who defies the armies of Israel? Can you say amen? Big brother began to back off. Saul saw the peace this man had. I don't believe God saw power on him. Saul saw what he saw on him when he came and played for him. Because Saul's servant said, I know a shepherd boy that can play like an angel. I know a shepherd boy. Amen. And so David went in and the Bible said David began to play. Because as Saul drifted from God, the enemy began to work on him. And an evil spirit began to torment him. Can you say amen? Don't think the devil won't torment your mind if you open the door to your mind to him. Amen. And worry and fear opens that door as sure as faith opens it to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you don't drift away on rock and roll to get out of this thing. You don't just drift away into the secular to get away from thinking about any of these things. Amen. It's a trap of the devil. It will never bring you lasting peace. Can you say amen? So anyway, he says, play. And the Bible said that David began to play. And the thing about David was, he did not play in a command performance for Saul. David played unto the Lord. His attitude was always, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. He began to play unto the Lord. Let me tell you something about praise. It paralyzes the enemy. The Bible said that spirit that was tormenting Saul had to back off, lay back. While David just praised God and sung his praise. No wonder he fights an authentic praise service. He don't care how well the choir sings. He don't care if you hit the high C. He don't care if you play Bach and Beethoven. It doesn't bother him at all. He doesn't care if you can do the Hallelujah Chorus or good. They book you in Carnegie Hall. But let one little woman come out and begin to sing under the anointing and hell backs off. That's why the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir scales him. They're not better than all the rest. Just a bunch of ex-junkies with a testimony that God has cleaned up. And they're singing it from the conviction of their own heart. Woo! Are you listening to me? I watched a lead singer sing a song, and then I heard his testimony. He used to sleep outside on a bench near the sidewalk where the church was. And I saw him in his suit glorifying God, and he looked so good. And he was full of joy and full of peace. And this world looks on in envy at anybody living under the circumstances of this fallen world with true peace. And I'm not talking about the loud people at the party. I'm talking about the people with the quiet peace. and the real joy of Jesus. Authentic stuff. Oh, and here's, now Paul's lost his. His army's affected and infected by it. There's no leadership. So here comes some of the men to tell David what he's up against to shake his peace. I want you to hear David's peace come through so his power would work. Listen to this. Have you seen the size of this man? How many know Satan will always magnify the problem to you? Amen? Come on, there's people who go out of church and they got to find some avenue. I don't know if what it is with you, whatever it is that takes you away. Amen. You don't need to run away anymore. It's the running away that keeps the devil chasing you. As long as you run away, he'll chase you. Amen? Amen? Choose a peace so you can not run away, but so you can stand your ground. Halabakoshala, and win the battle. Have you seen the size of this man? Have you seen the size of this man? And they describe the weight of his coat of mail, the weight of his spear, and the height. Have you seen? Nobody's ever seen a man like this. How many know anytime you've got a problem, Satan will magnify it? Every single time. Exaggerate it if he can. I don't believe they exaggerated this man. I believe he existed in the size and scope they said, because every warrior, including Saul, drew back at the sight of him. But David, this is why the little things in your life are so vitally important to having peace for the big things. A lion roared against the sheep. The anointing came on David, and David slayed it. He was by himself. The lion said, there's a young lad, and it's easy pickings. A young lion is not afraid of a young lad. Remember Samson? Same thing happened. First proving of his anointing was defeating a lion. Woo! You didn't hear me. I feel a revelation coming. First proving of David's anointing was what? Slaying a lion. Before the bear, before the giant, before becoming king, he slayed a lion. Bible said Samson, as a young man after his anointing to be a champion for God, was walking with his parents. He got out ahead of them. He come around a bend in the road, and a young lion stood face to face with him. Amen. And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came first. Ooh, Papa, first time the Spirit of God came on him to do an act of great power, amen, was when he slayed a lion. How many know there's a devil who's a roaring lion? How many know what Jesus did when he went in to be tempted of the devil? Amen. He came out in the power of the Spirit. What happened out there? He slayed a lion, didn't he? Can you say amen? And he came out of there after slaying that lion in the power of the Spirit. And when you come in the power of the Spirit, you're coming in mighty peace, warrior peace, because you know. And what did he begin to say? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Well, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you too. Can you say amen? The same Spirit of the same Lord and the same God. Amen. What we need to achieve is not the same power. We've got it. What we need here today is the same peace. Woo! Oh, that's shouting ground. Don't just sit there. Say glory. Say amen. Oh, me or something. Touch somebody. Say something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't need more power. There isn't any more power if you did need it. God doesn't hold it in heaven. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. What you need is the peace so that power can flow.
You see the size of this man, David said, I've slain the lion. When the Spirit came on me, I've slain the bear. When the Spirit came on me, who is, listen to what's spoken out of peace, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God?
Saul says, get my armor and put it on that young man. And he almost missed it. Satan's last ditch attempt to ruffle his peace was to convince him that what he just said wasn't enough. That what he did under the anointing, out on the without armor of man, that was a spiritual thing, and this was going to be a spiritual thing. It wasn't going to be his ability, amen, and his agility. It was going to be the same thing that gave him victory over that lion when he was just a boy fighting him with a shepherd's rod. Can you say, man, the Spirit of God came on him? But you know something? He put on Saul's armor. got it completely clothed in it. Because now he's following protocol. You're representing the king and you're representing your country. You put on the armor of the king. And he took a step in it and he felt uncomfortable. He felt like, you know something? Wrong king, wrong armor. Amen? And he began to dismantle the armor of man. See, that's why you don't blend Ophrah and Paul, Dr. Phil and Simon Peter. Pop psychology in Jesus Christ. You can't win spiritual battles trying to blend your armor. He took it off. Stood in his shepherd tunic and his slingshot. And he went down to a brook and he picked up 5 stones. And while he's picking up those stones, the giant sees him coming, still trying to take his peace. And he bellers at him. I asked for a man to fight me, and you send me a boy. Bring him on. The birds of the air lead his flesh today. David picks up 5 smooth stones. He puts 4 in his pocket and 1 in his